We're starting a series today called New. A New Standing is the title of today. One of the things that's amazing to me is how, if we're not careful, we forget some of the beauties that Jesus has brought us into, and we drift back into an old style, old way of thinking. There is a lot of theology that speaks about men being totally depraved, complete reprobates. You're a sinner, you're horrible, you're terrible. And if you're not careful, you can start to go, yeah, that's true about me. But that's not true about you if you're in Christ. That may have been true about you before you were in Christ, when you were separated from the life of God, when you had nothing to do with God, when you were far away, when you were an object of wrath, when you did not have relationship with Him. That may have been true about you. But the moment you came into Jesus Christ, you are no longer depraved. You are now beloved. You are no longer given over to sin. Sin now shall not be your master. A radical transfusion has happened. A complete change, a brand newness has come upon your life. One of the things we lose sight of is that in every religion, there is a mass of things that you need to do. And the basic idea behind all religion is you've messed up, and so you need to make up the distance that you've fallen, and there's a lot of things that you need to do. In the Old Testament, in Israel's culture, there was 5 major sacrifices that you had to bring in order to earn your way back to God. The sin offering, the burnt offering, trespass offering, peace offering. There were these thousands and thousands of offerings that were continuously having to be made, bloodletting, ongoingly, repentance ongoing, people coming back and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, I did it again. And more blood was shed, and more animals were burned, and more people walked to the temple to give their sacrifice. And then the Bible says all of these thousands and thousands of sacrifices rolled on until the day came when one sacrifice was made. And after that one sacrifice, no other sacrifice was ever necessary. And so you have to ask yourself, amen. Woo. So you have to ask yourself, what kind of a sacrifice did that have to be that all-encompassing? That it had to take every sin of every man for all time in itself, and that it had to destroy it once and for all, so that for all time no other sacrifice was necessary. It had to be done by God Himself, because it had to be eternal in its duration and absolute in its scope. And so Jesus Christ became the only begotten Son of God. He walked the earth, lived a sinless life, offered Himself in a substitutionary sacrifice that completely pleased God. And God took all the sin of all mankind and laid it upon Him. And then when He had all the sin of the world on it, it's God's will to crush Him and to make His life a sacrifice for sins. And when He died on our behalf, just before He died, He said, it is absolutely finished, completely settled in the heart of God. And when He died, God raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand. And Paul writes to the church and he says, now listen to me. Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. He's seated because He never has to minister a sacrifice again. Set your mind in the seated Christ. Hallelujah. I'm doing a happy dance on the inside. So in this series, we're going to be investigating the new you. Learning how to react to this great news is what the series is all about. And the proof text for this series is here found in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is found in Christ, if anyone, it doesn't say if pastors, if the bishops, if the over presiding highest altitude person in the denomination is in Christ. If anyone is found to be in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. That's a perfect active indicative for those of you who like Greek. It literally means It is an absolute indicator. It's a statement of absolute fact that says you have become new. If you're in Christ, you have become new. Everything about you has become new. So I do not trust anything about my old way of doing things. I am suspicious of any old way of thinking. I throw off any of the old responses I had towards God before I knew Him, because that's old and it's gone. And even religious observations that I used to adhere to before I knew Him, I must come at with a brand new mindset. In Galatians 6, Paul says this, "May I never boast." Because they were talking about, well, I do this, and I fast 3 times a day, and I pray this often. And Paul says, I don't want to boast about that stuff anymore. All this religious observance that I used to try and enact in order to get back to a good standing with God. He said, I don't want to boast about any of that. I want to boast about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world was crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. Well, I was of the tribe of Benjamin and circumcised on the 8th day. Well, I'm of the tribe of Asher and circumcised on the 7th day. Paul says it means nothing. The only thing that counts is the new creation. So you're either an old or a new, and it's digital. If you're in Christ, you're part of the new. If you're not in Christ, you're still old. Now, learning to live in this newness of life is what we want to investigate. And so much of what believers are trying to do is to attain what has already been freely given. And so a lot of Christianity, a lot of religious Christianity, is all about the works that you need to do under the assumption that we have not yet already attained the standing that the Bible says is already yours in Christ. Romans 6, we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. God wants you living in a new, and He's done everything that is necessary in order for you to do that. The old is dead. I'm now alive to Christ, and I'm never going to be removed from Him. See, one of the things that the Bible teaches is that when you believed, you get taken by the Holy Spirit, submerged into the body of Christ, sealed in the body of Christ, and Jesus is hidden in God. And so it says, you are now with Christ in God. So anytime the devil wants to come and get at you, he goes, well, I got to get through Jesus, and then I got to get through the Father. So he goes, come out. No, you're not pleasing to God. He's trying to get you in your thinking separated from Jesus. Oh, no, it's you over here. No. How dare you think you could be in the most holy God? How dare you think that you can expect anything from God who is so ineffable and wondrous? Sounds spiritual. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God, Colossians 3. You were baptized by one Spirit into one body and given one Spirit to drink. You were taken out of darkness and put into Jesus, who has now become light. You were an object of wrath. You are now beloved child. You were considered unholy and unrighteous. You are now considered holy and blameless in His sight. You were condemned. There is now no condemnation for you. You were an enemy of God. Now there is peace with God through your Lord Jesus Christ. You were once very far. Now you've been brought very near. We could go on all day. I had this sermon prepared. I prepared this sermon 15 different ways. I should have shown you. I had graphs, they were moving scriptures, and I had 6 scriptures on a page, and they all floated in, and I was about 4 pages in, and I realized I haven't even done 1%. We're going to just sit there for 45 minutes with scriptures coming at us, so I scrapped that version. And I'm trying a new version, but I'm going to have to rush. And I've only touched about 1%. So here's basically what I want you to understand about your standing. If you are in Christ, you have attained a standing that you did not work for. It is not by works so that no one can boast. God is not interested in us boasting about our standing, about anything I did to be able to stand here, but he has taken me out of somewhere and he's put me here to stand. And I'm standing. I have a standing in God that I did not earn, but Jesus earned it for me. And God qualified me to share in that standing, and you as well if you're in Christ. So let me just mention four things and then we'll be through. Number one, you need to know about your standing is that you are clean. You are clean. Many years ago, when the earth's crust was still cooling, I used to play rugby at high school. And when you're playing rugby, there's a squad, as you know, there's a squad of who's going to be, you know, who's going to be on the team and who's going to be on the bench, and you play, and so everybody just arrives at the tryouts with whatever jersey they have, and so they're all different colors. So they put in this little vest, and there's blue vests and there's red vests. And if you wear the blue vest, you're on the team. If you wear the red vest, you're bubbling under. And so I'm wearing a red vest and we're playing, and then about halfway through the game, the guy goes, no, wait, come here, swap out with this guy, put the blue vest on, and the other guy got the red vest, and now I'm wearing the blue vest. And in 1 second, I just put a blue vest over my, and suddenly the people who 30 seconds ago were trying to kill me, I swear, are now fighting with me. They're now going to battle with me. They're now rushing headlong at other people on my behalf. I didn't change. I just put a different vest on. You come to a place in God when you have a standing that the Bible says, you who used to be very far away, you who used to be filthy, dirty, you're now clean. You're clean because Jesus clothed you with himself. And now all of heaven, all of the angelic host, all of the resources of heaven are going, we're with you. Where are we going? Let's do this together. Boom. And half the church is going, well, I don't feel any different. You have a standing in God, which means you're cleansed. You're holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined those who believed in Jesus to be here. This is your standing if you're in Christ. So act like it. Don't let sin reign in you. Throw away sin. Put to death what belonged to the old. Say, no, that's not me. No. Oh, you don't understand. Sin has a hold on me. No, it doesn't. The only hold it's got is in your brain because you believe it's got a hold on you. The moment you realize you're standing, you go, I don't want to get this dirty. The other day, I didn't even tell my wife this. I got home, Michelle was out at a meeting, I was hungry. I go like, I'm gonna cook up some mince. And oh, it was gonna be great. And I started, but I had a nice shirt on and it started spattering. So I didn't want to run upstairs. I mean, no one was home, so I took my shirt off. And I was cooking because it was spattering my. You've been clothed in white. Don't get it dirty. Don't get it dirty. It's clean. You've been made clean. You are clean. Now let me show you, because I wish I had. I had 270 scriptures for you, but I'm just going to give you a few. You think I'm joking? I don't really want to know. So let me show you this here. My sins, according to the scriptures, and there's a bunch of scriptures, my sins have been taken away and yours too. And I've been completely purged of them. My sins will never be remembered by God, yours either. I've been washed. I've been redeemed by his blood. I've been saved and justified by his grace. I am faultless in Christ. I am perfected forever. My faithful God will sanctify me completely. And now that's just a few. We could go on. See, the Bible, when it comes to talking about your state, it talks about it as an absolute fact. It is a statement. It says, this is fact. It's in the indicative mood in the Greek, which means this is a statement of fact. Like there is a chair there. Russell is sitting on a chair. It's a statement of fact. It's an indicative mood in the Greek. This is who you are. And there's an interplay between the statement of fact and then a command. Well, because that's the truth, now you ought to be doing this. Because you died, now put to death what belonged to your old nature. Because the simple truth is, you died to sin. Stop living in it any longer. Break the habit. Do you understand? Indication, indicative mood, then the mood of command that says, do this. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. Now set your mind there. People go, oh, I have to set my mind on, but they don't remember the indication. They don't remember their standing. Now suddenly that set your mind on things above becomes a work. Oh, I've got to work. I've got to concentrate. No, listen. You're seated there. So stop thinking down here. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. John's not unclear about why he's writing. I'm writing to tell you, stop sinning. Why? Because you're holy people. Not you unholy people should stop sinning. Hey, psst, you guys are holy. Don't sin. I'm writing to you, tell you this. But if you do sin, we have an advocate who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Remember, you, when you believed, were taken by the Holy Spirit and submerged into Jesus Christ. And you and Jesus are submerged into God. You are in Christ, the Bible says. And so when it says he is, he currently, eternally exists as the atoning sacrifice for all sins, for all men, for all times. He is currently this vibrant hurricane of glory and power, and you are seated in him. And so if you went out and did something stupid, which you shouldn't do, I just want to tell you the good news is that you are in him, and he is your sacrifice of atonement. See, you have a standing, and your standing is in Christ, and it means you're clean. You're close. You're clean and you're close. When you go into the army, for those of you, when you start in the army, you're just a troop and you've got no rank. You're the lowest of the low, scum of the earth. And everybody can order you around because everybody's got a higher rank than you, just, and they'd love to. And then, we were just basic training, and it was hot, and it was dusty, and we were in a bungalow with 64 other guys, and it wasn't the most fun I've ever had. And then you do an officer's course, and then you get some rank, and there's an officer's club next to the dining hall, and they sell cold drinks and chocolate. And there's air conditioning. And I'll never forget the first time I walked into the officers' club, because no troop dare put the foot in the officers' club. But I remember the first time I walked into the officers' club, I was like, can I do this? And I walked in, and people looked up, and they said, hey. I said, hey. And I could do that because I had rank. I just checked, oh, yeah, I can be here. And I walked up, and there was a major at the bar, I never forget. And I sat next to the major, and he looked at me, and I said, hello, major. And he said, how are you? Very well, thank you. Last week, they would have chased me out of there. But now, I'm sitting next to the major. Because when you have what God gives you, a rank, you can go anywhere in the kingdom. You can have access to anything, and it's legitimized not because of you changed necessarily your behavior, but because God put something on you. Let me show you this, just a list of scriptures. You used to be far. We're talking about you're clean, but you're close. God has brought you close. I am brought near by the blood of Christ. I have been adopted. I am reconciled to God. I am privileged to have fellowship with the Father and with His Son. I am a child of God. I am a son of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. I am accepted and highly favored in the beloved. I am seated in heavenly places. this is who I am. And if you don't understand that this is your standing, you will be standing outside of rooms that Jesus intended you to be inside of, because you don't know your standing in Christ. And you'll never cross the doorpost. You'll never get into the air conditioning because you don't know your standing. All you need to do is look down and see the rank and go, I'm allowed in here. That's why the Bible says, come boldly into the throne room of grace so that you can receive mercy and find grace to help you in your time of need. Ask with great confidence. But I could never come that now. But now in Christ, Ephesians 2, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he himself is our peace. You are hidden in Christ, in God, and he himself is our peace. Well, I haven't had the best of weeks. I haven't prayed as much as I want to. Do you think I could still come into God's presence? He himself is our peace. Yes, you can. But that guy caught me off in traffic and he himself is our peace. You're clean, you're close, you are clothed. You are clothed. Let me read you just some of these. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ, with a massive inheritance. I am an heir of the grace of life, and I will inherit all things. All things are mine, and I possess all things. I'm not making it, people. Just to read it. When you read it out loud, you go, but that's your standing in Christ. That's what God said. All right. The following things are available to you. All things are yours, and you can possess all things. We go, do you think I'm allowed in there in that air-conditioned room? Yeah. Come on. I'm enriched by Christ in everything. I am rich because of Christ. I am blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. I have the righteousness of Christ. Please, I left 200 scriptures out of that list. Again, when I was in the military, one day the colonel asked me to arrange a 2-week exercise in the bush for 600 men. And he said, I want you to organize it. And I said, yes, sir. And so I went down to the quartermaster and I said, I need you to requisition meals, 3 meals a day for 600 men for 2 weeks. He goes, well, I'm going to have to ride off to headquarters for that. I said, well, then go to it. Now, understand, he comfortably outranked me, but I have the name of the colonel. I go, but the colonel said, I'm coming to tell you this is what we need. I'm not asking in my name. I'm asking in the colonel's name. And this guy who's a sergeant major is going, yeah, okay, I'll get that done. I go down to the trailer, to the car park, and I go, I need, I don't know what it was, 58 trucks or something, and I need them serviced before we go, and I need enough gas brought, and I want some water brought, and bring some water carts with it, because, well, I don't know if I can get it done. Okay, the colonel says it needs to be done by next Thursday. You've been clothed with everything you need. According to 2 Peter, you have everything you need for life and godliness through your knowledge of Jesus. You have everything you need, and you have been given his name. And Jesus said, and whatever you ask in my name, my Father will give you, because whatever God has called you and commissioned you to, he is going to equip you to achieve. And so he gives you his name and his authority, and you have been clothed on high with the Lord Jesus Christ. God chose the lowly things of this world, 1 Corinthians 1, and the despised things and the things that are not to confound the wise, so that no one can boast before him. Stop. God is not interested in me getting to heaven and being able to boast about all the things that I did that made up the ground that was missing. Because nobody will ever be able to achieve that in their own strength. So God says, listen, if you come in here and your attitude is, let me boast about what I did to get here, then you have not yet understood. Remember Jesus told the parable about the guy who came to the wedding banquet and he arrived and he had the wrong clothes on, and the owner said, how did you get in here with those clothes? People who get into heaven and go, man, I'm glad I put in that extra, because let me boast about what I did. You see, God is not interested in anybody boasting about your effort. He wants everybody singing the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Ah. It is because of Him, God, that you are in Christ, who has become for us wisdom, righteousness, holiness, and redemption. You are in Christ, and He, Jesus Christ, has become everything you need. You're clean, you're close, you're clothed, and you're called. Let me read you just a few. We're running out of time. I've been called into fellowship with God's Son. I've been called to eternal glory. I've been called with a holy calling. The aroma of Christ is made known by me. I am an epistle of Christ. I am God's and Christ's servant. I am a servant and a slave of righteousness. I have all the armor and the weapons that I need. Knocking on the door. Excuse me, yeah. I need food for 600 people for 2 weeks. But I don't have that food. I'm going to have to... Yeah, well then, you should get on it because that's what I need. So the Lord told me I need to go and do this, and so let's be about it. Well, who do you think you are? No, I'm no one, but I'm... The colonel sent me. Should I go back and tell him? The sergeant major doesn't like... I can tell him. No, that's fine. Well then, snap to. Let's get to it. I got to take the colonel a report. I'm going back there in 5 minutes. Should I tell him it's not possible? What do you want me to say, the colonel? No, it's fine. Tell him I helped you. Yes, sir. I really will. You have a calling on your life. See, some people, this is your standing in Christ. Well, I don't know what to do. My life is insignificant. I don't know if I'm just a waste of human. No. If you came into Christ, your standing changed. You became somebody who was called of God. He has called you to salvation at a minimum. More importantly, He's called you to a high and a holy place. He's called you to fruitfulness. You didn't choose me. I chose you, Jesus said. No one can come to the Father except, no one come to me unless the Father draws him. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. I chose you. The fact that you're in Christ means that He has designated and appointed work for you to do. He has worked things planned in advance for you to do, and He has appointed to you fruitfulness. This is your standing in Christ. And in order to get that right, He gave you the authority to use His name. And if you'll grab somebody else and come into agreement in Jesus' name, it shall be done for you by the Father's in heaven. Amen. Amen. That's how I feel. Thessalonians, may God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. See, He didn't say the one who calls you is faithful, so you better work your little tail off. He goes, the one who called you is faithful, and He will see to it. Now, there's some obedience that'll speed it up. There's some effort, some diligence, some clarity that'll help you. You'll get there quicker, no doubt. So be diligent. Be hardworking. Be attentive, obviously. You have a standing because you came into Christ. You're clean. You're close. You're clothed and you're called. You're clean, you're close, you're clothed and you're called. It's your standing in Christ. There are more, but I just didn't have time. But it's a good thing for you to understand, to settle, to get it in your spirit, to know in your soul. everything about your life has become brand new. There are new opportunities. There's new potential. There is new hope. There's new favor. There's new blessing. There are new mercies. There's new everything about your life. There's new way to think. There's new capacities. There's new opportunities. Everything about your life has become new, and you have a brand new standing. And for as long as you cling to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never lose your standing. There is no power in heaven or on earth that can take away from you the standing that is yours right this second. So you just want to say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Just makes you want to cling to him. Just makes you want to say, thank you. But it also makes me want to learn, how do I walk in this newness? How do I step into the air-conditioned rooms? How do I requisition what I need? How do I put on the Lord Jesus Christ? Because that's what I want to learn how to do. And that's what this message and this series is about. Let me pray for us. Father, would you teach us by your Spirit how to be people who walk in this new way, to walk in the new man, to think with a new mind, to operate with new values, to see your kingdom come. We give you praise and adoration in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.